So this year is sponsored by by Isaac Schwartzman, Le'ili Nishmas's grandmother, whose Yortzeit Frima Bas Ben Yamin, whose Yortzeit is tonight and tomorrow. We thank him for his sponsorship. Okay, so we're going to continue where we left off last week in these very relevant conversations about what is permissible, what is prohibited, when it comes to Amir La'akum, when it comes to that which you're allowed to ask a guy to do for you on Shabbos. So at the end of last week's session, we introduced the concept called the psik resha. A psik resha, once again, is where a person does a permissible act, but inadvertently causes a malacha to take place. So for example, if I were to open up a refrigerator door and there's a light inside, when I open the door, I'm just opening a door of a refrigerator. I'm not, that in and of itself is permissible, but inadvertently the light goes on. That wasn't my intention. I didn't have, unless that was, but usually that's not a person's intention to open, to turn the light on. It's just, that happens inadvertently. Or if, let's say, a person turns on the hot water on a sink on Shabbos. So that's what's called a psik resha. Because when I turn the hot water on Shabbos, what's happening? Hot water is coming into the sink. And as a result, more cold water is now going into the boiler. So I am directly causing new cold water to now enter the boiler and heat up. But that wasn't my intention when I turned on the hot water faucet. I'm just washing my hands with hot water. And sure enough, I am causing some cold water to be heated up on Shabbos. Anything like this is called a psik resha. A psik resha is obviously, as we know, is forbidden for a Jew to do on Shabbos. One is not allowed to turn on hot water on Shabbos because of this issue, even though you do not intend to cause any malacha to take place. You didn't intend that. If I could just trouble everyone to please mute themselves. Oh, wait, hold on. I can still do that. I forgot. Let me do this. Okay, I see everybody's muted. Okay, great. Even though you didn't intend to do it, it's still usur because you're causing malacha to take place. You're causing water to be cooked. In the case of the refrigerator, you're causing a light to be turned on directly as a result of your action. However, the halacha is that a person is allowed to ask a goy directly to do a psik resha on Shabbos. And the reason is as follows. If you recall from the very beginning, the two issues with telling a goy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos is, number one, v'daber davar. Chazal tell us, based on the pasuk of v'daber davar, that one is not supposed to speak about unique things on Shabbos, should not talk about mundane activities. And by directly communicating to the goy that you want him to do malacha on Shabbos, the speech itself is inherently forbidden because you're talking about malacha-related activities. And number two is that the guy, in a certain sense, is a person's shliach, is a person's messenger. So if I direct a guy to do malacha on Shabbos on my behalf, in a certain sense, it's as if I did it because I directed him to do it for me. Both of those reasons, says the halacha, do not apply in the case of a psik resha. Let's use the refrigerator door as an example. So if I open up a refrigerator, if I tell a guy, please open this refrigerator door for me on Shabbos, that statement in of itself is not inherently a malacha-oriented statement. I just said, open the refrigerator, right? A lot of refrigerators don't have a light on. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. The only issue is that if there may be a light inside, it may get turned on. But the door itself, the handle of the door, the opening of the door, is nothing inherently wrong with that. And so therefore, if I just tell a guy, please open the refrigerator on Shabbos, there's no issue of a davar davar. And also the second issue of shlichus, that the guy is my messenger on Shabbos, there's no issue there either, because all I told him was open the refrigerator door. So when he opens the refrigerator door, he is my shliach to the extent that he's opening up the door. The fact that inadvertently he's causing a light to go on, that's not considered associated to my directive, and therefore he's not considered my shliach for causing the light to go on. Light goes on, it goes on, but it's not considered my shliach for that. So both of the reasons behind the prohibition of Amir La'akum do not apply in the case of the psik resha, that's the halacha, and therefore, this is actually very important and very relevant, a person is allowed to directly tell a guy to do a malacha on Shabbos, provided that the malacha is only done vis-a-vis of psik resha, meaning I tell him to do something permissible, even if inadvertently it's guaranteed that a malacha will take place as a result, still not a problem. So I am allowed to tell a guy, please wash these dishes with hot water. I can tell him to do that, even though I can't do that, but I can tell him directly to do that. Or please open up the refrigerator for me. A person is stuck in person's in their house and they got a new refrigerator, or they have a light and they like to have it on during the week, and every week it's one of their Friday afternoon chores to unscrew the light on the refrigerator. One week they forget, and then they realize it's Shabbos. You can go to your neighbor and directly tell them, please come and open up the refrigerator for me on Shabbos. Do not tell them, you cannot say, please open up the refrigerator and allow the light to go on, right? Because that second part of your statement is now problematic. But just simply stating, open up the refrigerator, does not pose any problems. Person's in a hospital for Shabbos, and there's always the issue of the refrigerator on the floor. And so that's always a sticky issue, because usually very often it's a communal refrigerator that people from the floor are using. You have your food in your own compartment in there, in your own bag or et cetera. And, but how do you open up the refrigerator on Shabbos? So in a situation like that, you don't have to come on to the other leniencies that we've discussed in the past about the permissibility of amir la'akum for the sake of a person who's ill or anything of that nature. The mere fact that opening up the refrigerator is a psik resha, therefore it would be permissible. I'll give you one other example just for now, which could happen. This is a little bit of a different case, and you'll see why. Let's say my fuse trips on Shabbos in my house. That could happen, right? And all of a sudden, all of the lights go off, and the chillum pot is now off, and the lights are off, and the plot is off, and the heat is off, everything turns off on Shabbos. So now, am I allowed to go directly and tell a guy to please flip the switch in my electrical box? Please flip the main switch, all of the electric things back on. Or if let's say there's a certain line, electrical line that has five or six things attached to it, and the whole line trips, can I tell the guy to directly turn that back on? So you may have, in practically speaking, you may have in that situation some of the leniencies that we discussed in the past about maybe it's a real need, maybe there's a loss, I need it for my children. But putting that all aside, the simplest way to deal with it would be in a situation where, let's say a person has a chola in their house. Let's say a person is ill, they're bedridden, they're not deathly sick, rahmana witzlan, they're not threatened to go to the hospital, as we discussed in the past, they have to lay down, they cannot function normally, they're considered a chola she'ein bo sakan. Let's say somebody in your household is under the weather, they have COVID, rahmana l'tzlan, they have the flu, they're not feeling well, and they need the heat. You know, so for them, even if it's not so cold in the house for the average person, but for that person, it's cold because they're not feeling well, or they need that, the plata to be on because that is their food and they need to eat. It's very important for their health, whatever, they need to eat it. So they need it. So a guy, let's say you have a chola in your house, so then you would be allowed to tell the guy to flip the entire switch back on, even if the guy, as a result, is not only going to turn on the plata, which helps the chola, but he's also turning on the lights in the third bedroom or the second bedroom. Let's say you have six or eight electrical things that all in one line. Now, wait a minute. All those other things that he's doing, which are not needed for the chola. The chola has his bedroom over here, and he doesn't need all these other bedrooms. So what right do you have to allow the guy to flip the switch back on if by doing so, he's also turning on all of the other lights? And those lights are for the healthy people in the house. For them, there's no justification to allow the guy to do it, to tell him directly. And so maybe you should not be allowed to do it. Or if you're allowed to do it, maybe you have to first tell him, please go and turn off the switches on the wall of all those rooms, so that when he turns the switch in the electrical box back on, he's not benefiting anybody else in the family. He's only benefiting that which the chola needs, that which the sick person needs, right? You turn off all of the switches on that line that are relevant to everybody else. And this way he's only benefiting who he's allowed to benefit. That is the person who's sick. That's why you allowed him to do it. Does a person have to do that? And the answer is you don't have to do that. Why? Because if a guy comes in and you tell him, there's a person in my family, this so-and-so is sick, and the light, you know, the electrical light tripped, and now he, can you please turn it on? He needs it on for his hot food. When the guy now comes into your house and turns the switch, what's his intention? Only for the hot food, for the schola. The mere fact that he's also turning on eight other lights at the same time, that wasn't his intention. That wasn't his kavana. That wasn't what even he was asked to do. So yes, even in this case, it's not like opening up a refrigerator because he's doing a malacha, but it's a permissible case because he's doing it for a person who's sick. The issue is that now at the same time, inadvertently, he's allowing benefit to all these other people in the house. But because that benefit to all of them is inadvertent, it's called a psik resha, and therefore one is allowed to have the guy turn the switch back on. So as long as there is some justification for at least one of those electric devices to be turned on Shabbos directly by telling a guy, then even if other lights will go on at the same time, you don't have to worry about it. It's permissible to tell the guy directly to turn them on. Let's say, for example, as we've discussed in the past, let's say no one's sick in your house, but let's say, you know, the switch tripped on Friday night at, you know, 9 p.m. and your chillant was attached to that line, that electrical line. Now the chillant pot is off. You need that for the mainstay of your meal on Shabbos, right? So, and let's say you have young children. So there may be situations where... I can please ask everyone to please mute themselves. Thank you. So there may be some other justification that you have. Even if other things go on, you don't have to worry about it. That's what's called a psik resha. Okay. Now I want to move on to the next thing, which is very important. Next two things are very important. Let's go back for a moment to the washing of dishes on Shabbos. And forgive me if I mentioned this last week, I don't recall. A couple of you helped me earlier this evening for trying to jog my memory. But I'm going to quickly get to something which I don't believe I spoke about. So we've established that you're allowed to ask the guy directly to turn hot water on Shabbos. Are you allowed to ask the guy directly to use a sponge? Or are you allowed to ask the guy directly, or are you allowed to benefit? Do you have to stop him from using a sponge? Remember, any malacha that a guy does for a Jew on Shabbos is forbidden for a person to benefit from, generally speaking, right? A guy turns a light on for you on Shabbos, you're now supposed to reuse that room to read, right? We established that, you know, a couple of months ago. So you have to stop a guy from using a sponge on Shabbos. If you tell a guy, please use a sponge, you're directly telling him to do a malacha on Shabbos. That's not like turning on the hot water, where the action of turning on the faucet is a permissible activity, and the malacha of the cold water going into the boiler is only inadvertent. But if I tell a guy directly, please use a sponge, I am directly, I'm communicating with him to please do a malacha. Now that I use a sponge on Shabbos. Let's say one of those sponges which is forbidden on Shabbos. So can I tell him to do that? So there is another leniency, which may often be relevant even to a sponge. And that is, that if you could have cleaned that particular dish in a permissible way just as well. In other words, if you have, let's say, some dirty dishes on Shabbos, and there are two ways to clean them. Either you can clean them with cold water in a halachically permissible fashion, using one of those Shabbos sponges and Shabbos soaps and everything else, whatever it may be, or you can use it the more convenient way, the way which you do it during the week, which is using a sponge. If you can accomplish the same goal in two different ways, one's permissible, one is forbidden, then you are allowed to ask the guy directly to do it, even if it's the wrong way. Because the fact that you're allowed to tell the guy, please wash the dishes. And even if you see him using a sponge, you don't have to stop him. Because since he had a permissible way to do it, and he chose for his own convenience, obviously, to not do it that way and to use the sponge, That choice of using the sponge is not directly related to you. That part of it is not considered an act as a, as your, he's not considered your shliach for that part of it, because you didn't need him to do that. You could have used cold water, which is permissible for me to do too. And therefore you're allowed to tell him, please wash the dishes. Don't be horrified if he uses a sponge, provided that you could have also also cleaned that part, those particular dishes yourself on Shabbos in a permissible fashion. Even if it could have taken you much longer, maybe, you know, because with cold water, it takes you 10 minutes, and with hot water and a sponge, it could take you 2 minutes. But the point is, you could have done it. Since you could have done it yourself, therefore, there's no problem. There's no problem. For example, if as it could be, I don't remember if I mentioned this or not. Let's say I'm going into an apartment building on Shabbos, and I have to, there's a guard at the door inside the lobby of the apartment building. And he has to buzz, usually he buzzes the front door to allow you in. So are you allowed? So when you knock on that door, he sees you from afar. He buzzes you in. Are you allowed to enter that door? Because now the guard did malacha directly on your behalf. The answer is it's permissible. Why? Because you could have, because he could, he had a, for, there was another way for him to do it. He could have came over to you and he could have opened the door, right? In a permissible fashion without pressing the button. He chose to use, to press the button because for him, it was more convenient. But that was his decision. And therefore, that's not associated with me. And therefore, there's no problem. And I'm allowed, I don't have to worry about it. Lastly, let's say I'm in a hotel for Shabbos or an apartment building for Shabbos, and I am on the second or third floor of the building, or I live in an apartment building. I'm on the second or third or fourth floor. I live in Washington Heights. I live somewhere else, and I'm in an apartment building. And I want the superintendent to come up to my house to look at something on Shabbos. Now, he has two ways to get to my floor. You can either take the elevator, or he could take the steps. Do I have to be concerned if he's taking the elevator? I tell him, please come up to my floor. You're walking in from shul Shabbos morning. You know you've got this plumbing issue. It's a real emergency. It's an urgent matter. And something which is permissible to tell a guy to do on Shabbos. I need you to come upstairs. And he goes, he takes the elevator. Is that a problem? You have to be concerned. Wait a minute. He just did malacha on my behalf in order to get to my apartment. He did malacha. The answer is, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stop it. Since he had a permissible way to get there too, he could have taken the steps. The fact that he chose to take the elevator, that was for his own personal convenience. That decision of him is not associated to you. You cannot tell him, please take the elevator upstairs. That you can't say. You can say, please come up to my room. And since there's a permissible way to do that, there's no issue of a dabra davar, there's no issue of shlichus, and therefore the fact that he takes the elevator is not a problem. The situation where it does become a problem, let's say you're on the 30th floor of a hotel for Shabbos. So even though you were willing to sweat it out and you walked 45 minutes down the steps to get to shul, and you walk 45 minutes back up the steps or maybe even longer to get back to your hotel room, you knew going in that you were going to have that issue, but you figured, I'll do it. Now you go to the front desk and you say, I need you upstairs for something. Can you tell him to please come upstairs to your room? Now he goes along and he takes the elevator. Can you say, oh, he had two ways to get there. He could have taken the steps. So the fact that he chose the elevator is not my prerogative, that's his prerogative. Well, at some point, depending on how high you are in that building, it's not realistic for the average human being to go that far using the steps. And by telling him to come upstairs is in essence the same thing as telling him to use the elevator. That would be forbidden. So that's an important thing to know. A person's in a hotel for Shabbos and they're on such a high floor where it's not realistic. So then a person would not, and they're strictly speaking, would not be allowed to tell the guy to come upstairs. Again, putting aside any other leniencies that we've discussed where it's permissible. Let's say there's a great need, or let's say, you know, a person is sick. For your person, you're not feeling well, and therefore you're considered a chole, and therefore you can tell him to do malacha for you on Shabbos, as we discussed. But let's just say it's none of those situations. You just want him to do something for you on Shabbos. You would not be allowed. Now, where do you draw the line? Is it the fourth floor? Is it the fifth floor? The sixth floor? Is it based on what kind of shape the superintendent is in? If he's in really good shape, he could easily hop up 15 floors, but the guy, he could barely walk up three floors. You know, is it, how do you assess what's considered a realistic option for him to take the steps? Does it mean that, you know, if he, you know, would he do it if necessary? If let's say the elevator was broken, would he actually take the steps, or would he say, I'm sorry, I'm just not taking the steps. I can't do it. I don't care. I'm not still walking a half hour. How do you assess that? It's a little bit of a gray area. So there could be a shaila if you're like in like the eighth floor or the ninth floor, but certainly if you're on the second or third floor, it's certainly not a problem. But on the 30th floor, it certainly is a problem. And try to avoid the shaila, I guess, if you can. Someone, one of the Baal Batim, the shul, told me that Rav Herschel Schechter paskind in the Heights, where a lot of the apartments are five or six floors, Rav Schechter paskind that, you know, but where YU is, that you are allowed to ask a guy you're allowed to ask the superintendent to come up to your apartment, because five or six floors, you know, is okay. So that's, you know, interesting to know. Okay, so based on this discussion, I'm going to introduce now the issue which we're going to discuss next week. Going back to the dishwashing, washing dishes for 1 second. I tell the guy, please wash the dishes. He goes along and he puts it in the dishwasher. My dishwasher on Shabbos. Do I have to stop him? On the one hand, do I say, it's just like the sponge. If I could have also cleaned these kalim very well, the grime wasn't like that stuck to it, where only a dishwasher can get it off, or it was a type of, you know, cleanliness that I could have done myself, albeit taking longer with cold water, and he just decided to do it in a forbidden way using the dishwasher. That's not my prerogative. It's like, you know, and that's permissible, just like if he uses a sponge, I don't have to stop him. Or is there anything different about a dishwasher? And the answer is, a dishwasher is fundamentally different for a whole different reason. Not because of the malacha issue. Because let's say you can clean those dishes just as well yourself. It's a whole separate issue. And that issue is the fact that a dishwasher makes noise. And this is what we're going to discuss next week about the existence of noise making items, malacha noise type making items going on in your house on Shabbos. Even if it was set by you, let's say before Shabbos, or set by a goy on Shabbos, either way where the setting wasn't the issue, right? You set it before Shabbos. You know, having a, what can am I allowed to wash, to put a load of laundry into my washing machine right before candlelight or in the dryer, where it's going to now be running and making this malacha type noise in my home for the next 45 minutes? Can I turn on a dishwasher before Shabbos? Can I put a dishwasher on a timer where it's going to go on Shabbos? To set lights, there's no noise. To set a chillin' pot, there's no noise. What about a radio? Can I set a radio before Shabbos that it can go on Shabbos and the radio can be playing? What's the problem? I set it before Shabbos, right? This is a big air conditioning, heating. Can I set my air conditioning before Shabbos? It's going to go on. It's going to make all this noise. I have an old system. It makes a really annoying, loud noise when it goes on. Is that like a dishwasher? Is that forbidden? Is it permissible? Is there any problem with it? So we're going to discuss the fact that noise is what's called a zilusa de Shabbos. It is a degradation of Shabbos, degrading Shabbos. To have malacha-type noise being done in one's home on Shabbos in and of itself, even if I didn't directly command the person to do it on Shabbos. But here there's going to be a big difference between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. So if you are Sfardi, you have all the more reason to come to next week's shiur. And if you're Ashkenazi, you also should come to make sure that you don't make a mistake. But either way, this is a very important topic that we're going through in Hashem, even though it's not directly related to Amir La'akum, but because it touches on this dishwasher shiloh of the guy on Shabbos, I'm going to take a little bit of a segue just for a few minutes at the beginning of next week and talk about the noise factor on Shabbos.
Are y'all three okay. Blocks out of our way?
If I could ask everyone to please mute themselves, please.
I actually have a question.
At this point, I'm open to questions. Yes.
Okay, I have a question as far as the telling a guy to wash the dishes on Shabbos. Is there any problem with preparation for after Shabbos?
Yes, another issue. That's next week's shiur as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'll be the next
washing
week.
To fully... In other words, there's going to be a big difference between a guy washing dishes potentially Friday night, where you may need to reuse those dishes on Shabbos, or you need the space where the dishes are, and versus the guy washing your dishes after a Shabbos afternoon Suda. Shabbos is over in 2 hours. It's the winter. There's only one reason that he's washing the dishes now, and that's to prepare for after Shabbos. Yes, that is going to be a problem. Thank you for even mentioning it now. So you really, in order to get a full, you know, a full understanding of this issue, we have to discuss that aspect as well. Yes. Very good point. Any other questions? Okay. Okay, thank you all for coming. And again, anytime during the week, feel free to reach out. These are the two topics we'll address next week about preparing on Shabbos for after Shabbos. We'll touch on that. And then we'll also discuss the noise issue, which is a very, very important issue on Shabbos. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful week. Take care, everybody. Thank you all for coming on. We have a few more weeks of Amir Lakum before we take a small break, and then we'll go on to another topic perhaps later on. Okay. Take care, everyone. Have a wonderful evening. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.